This is the Daily Signal podcast for Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Virginia Allen. The House was expected to deliver the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas today, but we learned on Tuesday afternoon that that delivery date has been delayed. Fox News reports the Republican senators asked House Speaker Mike Johnson to delay the delivery of the two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. But why? Well, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said that he will dismiss and likely table those articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. Fox reports that the benefit of delay for Republicans is allowing for those articles of impeachment against Mayorkas to have more time to be debated without the pressure of the approaching weekend. I sat down with Senator Roger Marshall, and we discussed the coming delivery of those impeachment articles to the Senate and what's likely to happen. At the time of our conversation, we did think that the articles were going to be delivered today, but now the Senate has to wait one more week. Schumer has not indicated that he will change his position on tabling the articles. Stay tuned for my conversation with Senator Roger Marshall as we discuss what is likely to happen when those articles of impeachment against Mayorkas do finally reach the Senate.
The Heritage Foundation is the most effective conservative policy organization in the country. Every semester, our interns are a vital part of that mission. We pay competitively, we develop talent, and we give our interns access to some of the sharpest minds in the country. We're going on offense, so join us. To learn more about the Young Leaders Program here at the Heritage Foundation, please go to heritage.org/intern.
It is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the Daily Signal podcast, Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas. Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Virginia, it's great to see you again and great to be with you. Boy, things are hopping up here with this impeachment trial.
My goodness, what a week is it on Capitol Hill. As you say, the Senate is receiving the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Wednesday. Tell us, if you would, what these impeachment articles are really all about. What does this come down to? Why was Mayorkas impeached in the first place in the House?
Right. So, Virginia, I would say it's the number one issue for folks back home is this open southern border, the safety and security of the family. Obviously, I'm from Kansas, the middle of the state, but everywhere I go, this is what people are concerned about. Kansas loses a young adult every day from fentanyl poisoning. 250,000 young Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning. Human trafficking's on the uptick, and then crime just comes along with that. The cartel and the Mexican triad literally have posts throughout Kansas now. So I think that's what this is all about, is that Americans want accountability. And this is one way to do it. Yes, Mayorkas broke his oath. Yes, he broke the law and under the orders of and policies of Joe Biden. But I think this is about accountability. I think that's why we're doing this.
Well, we're all asking what happens next. So the Senate, as they receive those articles of impeachment from the House, what are the options that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has?
You're right. So, Virginia, on the 17 previous impeachment articles that reached the Senate floor, the next step is to swear in the senators as jurors and then have a trial. But this issue is so toxic to Chuck Schumer, the Democrats getting the Senate majority or keeping the Senate majority, and so toxic to Joe Biden that they're planning on tabling it. This has never been done before. We would consider this a nuclear option. Nuclear in the sense of what Harry Reid did back in 2013 to lower the threshold for judges to be nominated. But that came back to bite him. It came back to bite him in the form of Neil Gorsuch. So what should happen is a public trial, but instead it's such a toxic issue that Chuck Schumer is going to table it. Last point I would make is that it would take just two Democrats to insist that we go forward with the trial. So I hope come November that the good people from Montana, Ohio, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I hope they hold their senators accountable for not being willing to step up and say there should be an impeachment trial. I understand if they vote innocent versus guilty, but there should be a trial. That's what the Constitution says. That's what the Senate rules say.
What does history tell us about the tradition of the Senate acting on articles of impeachment? Has a Senate majority leader ever tabled articles of impeachment before, as you say is likely to happen with Senate Majority Chuck Schumer?
Right. So this has never happened before. There's been 21 impeachment trials over on the House side. Four of those, the person died, they resigned, but 17 of them had still had the person in office when those impeachment articles were delivered. And every one of those was followed through with the trial. Again, this is so toxic that Chuck Schumer is going to table it. That's certainly what it looks like, but we're going to go down screaming and fighting. We're going to we were on the floor last night speaking. We'll be on the floor this afternoon speaking. We're doing a press conferences. We're going to raise points of order as well. We're going to do our best to make sure America knows and make sure families like Lake and Riley understand that we care. That we do care. We care about those families who've lost loved ones from fentanyl poisoning. We do understand that every state now feels like a border state.
Senator, what does the Constitution say regarding the Senate's responsibility with impeachment?
Yeah. So I'm a physician, not a constitutional lawyer. but the way I would read it is that we have a constitutional obligation to follow through with this impeachment trial. It takes, I believe, two-thirds to convict. But it doesn't say do a trial if you want to. Could you imagine a scenario in, say, 4 years from now when a Democrat-controlled House convicted a Republican president and then the Republican Senate said, we're going to table it? I mean, the national media would just lose their minds to even think about this. But that's the bad side here, is that it's setting a precedent that will lead to just that. This will come back to bite the Democrats if they do this. It's going to bite them in November. It'll bite them in the future as well.
Hmm. Well, as you say, what is playing out right now, it's not necessarily too surprising. We know that with Democrats controlling the Senate, that it was unlikely that they would take robust action and certainly very unlikely that they would act to remove Mayorkas after the House voted to impeach him. But where does this leave conservative lawmakers who are advocating for border security?
Yeah, I think that leaves us with a good story to tell from now until November, is to make sure that every citizen from Montana and Ohio, Wisconsin and Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and these purple states, what leaves us is to tell that story. And, you know, you can turn on the TV yourself, and if you watch some of the CNNs of the world, they're not going to be covering this story at all. They're going to be talking about esoteric things. The eclipse was a fun topic for them for, you know, this week as well. But I think it leaves us with saying we need to make sure we share this story over and over again and make sure that the families that lost loved ones know that we do care, that we are hearing them, that we are listening. But come election time in November, it can make a difference. We need to fire Mayorkas this week. Let's fire Joe Biden in 200 days.
Senator, Kansas is not a border state. How has your state been impacted, been affected by what's happening along the southern border?
Yeah. So we've taken this to heart. Over a couple years ago, we started doing fentanyl roundtables, trying to bring that issue. The young adults are poisoned. You know, these are accidental. They're taking what they think is a Percocet or maybe, you know, some other type of medicine, and it's tainted with fentanyl. They take a half a pill and they die. So certainly it's impacted our youth. We're seeing crime rise. My dad was the chief of police for 25 years in my hometown. He taught me wherever there's drug abuse, you're going to see crime as well. So there's a huge crime uptick. We did a crime roundtable with law enforcement and lots of other, you know, district's attorneys, the FBI, KBI, all those people. And what really hit me is one of them said, the situation is so bad, we cannot arrest ourselves out of it. We cannot arrest ourselves out of it. You know, in other words, we got to secure the border. It'll take a decade to filter through this. We're seeing massage parlors spring up all across the state of Kansas with human trafficking. So you go to these strip malls and you see a Chinese restaurant, you see a Chinese hair parlor store, and beside them is a massage parlor. And I'm putting quotes if some of your folks are just listening, a massage parlor. So you're getting more than just a traditional massage there. So the human trafficking is exploding as well. You know, we're worried about terrorist plots. So it's a huge uptick in all sorts of crime.
Yeah, this is an issue that is so on the minds of Americans because we're all experiencing it at some level, especially if you live in a city, that uptick in crime. And, you know, it's not just specifically in New York or Los Angeles. This is happening in cities across the nation. Do you think that what's happening on the southern border is the main driver, or are there other issues involved here that are driving this uptick in crime?
Oh my goodness. I think 90% of it is from the southern border, perhaps even more. And that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of sheriff's officers across the state of Kansas, police officers, our Kansas Bureau of Investigation, that so much of this is driven by the Chinese triad, which is the Chinese organized crime. Their big thing is the massage parlors and the money laundry, mostly in Bitcoin, by the way. But then the Mexican cartel literally is running the freeways and the highways. And it's not just cities now. I mean, they are in small rural communities where they can hide, especially the human trafficking component of it, that they can hide people out for days or weeks at a time until they're ready for them. So no city is immune from this. And of course, the fentanyl poisoning, we're seeing that in small rural communities, rural high schools. One of the things the police officers pointed out to me a couple weeks ago is now that they're seeing 11 and 12 year olds involved with the human trafficking, that they can traffic themselves, if you will. This is why, and this might touch, on the toes of some of your listeners, I'm very concerned about TikTok, that there is a national security issue at stake there as well that we need to address. So that the police officers are just stunned how young the people are. It's so easy and cheap to get the fentanyl. It's less than a slice of pizza now. So all those things happening. I wish I could paint a prettier picture right now, but I'm very, very worried about the health and safety of our youth.
Do you think that solutions need to be more focused at a state level, or are there some federal measures that can be taken in order to address these issues, and specifically the rise in crime, the spread of fentanyl, human trafficking? How do we strike that balance?
Yeah. First of all, I want to compliment the law enforcement officers. This is not their fault. But if there's policies in some communities, I just don't think this is true in Kansas. But if you're a defund the police policy person, if you are a cashless bail, that all exacerbates the crime. When so many of these people are repeat offenders, of course, again, with Lake and Riley, again, we saw that with a person that was arrested and set free as well. So it's probably the local policies is just giving the law enforcement the tools that they need. And tools means money and resources. They do need more officers. They need more intelligence gathering, all those types of things. At the federal level, look, with the wave of his hand, Joe Biden could stop so much of this and just slow down the number of people crossing the border. Over 2 million gotaways have been released. They weren't released. They just found their way into this country. 2 million known gotaways. Look, our Border Patrol officers are so busy rendering first aid and social services, they can't do their job as well. I think there are some federal policies, though. So for instance, we have one act that would force social media to reach out to law enforcement when they see illicit drugs being sold on their smart apps, that type of thing. But mostly, Virginia, we just need to secure the border. That's going to be the first step.
Senator, I might know the answer to this question already, but when you consider the state of the nation, what is giving you the most cause for concern right now? And not to be all depressing, what is also giving you hope?
Yeah. So I think the two biggest problems we face is our national debt and our open southern border. And I'm not sure how you could rate one ahead of the other. I think we've talked a lot about the southern border, but the budget, we're spending $1 trillion a year on. We're going to take in $5 trillion, but spend $7 trillion. And I know those numbers are really big, but anyone, simple math, you take in $5, you spend $7, that's not a good model for long term. So whether you think hospitals or roads and bridges or high-speed internet, schools are important, a strong military, if you're spending $1 trillion a year on interest, then there's less money left for these other problems. I think that what gives me hope are the youth that I do see, the children, my grandchildren, been spending a lot of time going to high schools across the state of Kansas, trying to be a message of hope. And I'm telling you, these are good kids. They're great children. The parents want to be good parents, but they're just inundated with the social media part of this. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm a huge freedom of speech person, but with the algorithms of today, and don't underestimate again the Chinese Communist Party, what their role is in this propaganda. They are really good at this. And the Russians are as well, attacking our youth with these mind games. But if we get our schools right, we're going to be okay. We still have these values of faith and family, community, education, hard work. Those are the values I was raised on. Those values are still out there, but these elitist, woke people that are in power now are drowning us, but we'll get it right. I got faith in us.
I'm glad you have faith, Senator. It's always encouraging to hear when our leaders still are optimistic and hopeful. Now, as you mentioned earlier, this is a wild week, a busy week on Capitol Hill. The House and the Senate have just returned from being out on recess for a couple weeks. If you would share with us a little bit of a preview of the spring, what can we expect to be seeing out of the Senate this spring?
Yeah. Well, there may not be a whole lot, but we have the FFA that we need to get reauthorized. The 702 FISA issue, you know, come back, and there's probably people, Mike Lees of the world, that know more about that than I do. But the surveillance of foreign folks, and somehow it bleeds into Americans. So we got to figure out what to do with that as well. There's a couple banking bills, but it really feels like that election's next week. I think the attention up here, once we got the budget passed, which, by the way, was a horrible appropriations bill, over 600 pages of earmarks. But I think everyone's attention is really turning towards the election, and I wouldn't expect much out of us over the next several months. It'll be interesting in a lame duck session what might happen then.
I appreciate that honesty, Senator, and we appreciate your time today. We're going to be, of course, watching what does play out in the Senate regarding the articles of impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas. But we want to thank you for your time and your voice on this. Really appreciate it, Senator.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too. With that, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the Daily Signal podcast. Here at the Daily Signal, we're going to be continuing this week to cover what happens to those articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in the Senate. So make sure that you are following along at dailysignal.com. And if you have not had the chance, make sure that you are checking out our weekday evening show. Every weekday around 5 p.m., we bring you the top news of the day. So if you want to know at the end of the day what happened with those Senate impeachment articles against Mayorkas, so if you want to know at the end of the day what's the latest on those articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, we'll be bringing you all the updates on top news. So also make sure that you're checking out those shows every day around 5 p.m. Thanks again for being with us today. We hope you have a great Wednesday. And again, we'll see you right back here for top news this afternoon.
The Daily Signal podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. Executive producers are Rob Bluey and Kate Trinko. Hosts are Virginia Allen, Brian Gottstein, Mary Margaret Olihan, and Tyler O'Neill. Sound design by Lauren Evans, Mark Guiney, and John Pop. To learn more or support our work, please visit dailysignal.com.